Come home to you, and I ask you to. Written by, oh just disarm already, and read by God of Laundry Baskets. Chapter 2. Lucretia. Lucretia was reading in her room when he finally tracked her down. It had taken forever to get Loop to stop hovering for an hour so he could slip away. But she was on a research frenzy and didn't need him for the moment, so he was free. He let himself in and sprawled on Lucretia's bed, trying his hardest not to be aware of where she was, how long it would take her to get her wand out, and what she could do with it. Paco, did you need something? Is there a meeting? She asked, startled. Right, he can't just walk into people's rooms. Nah, I just wanted to hang out with my favorite bookworm, he drawled, closing his eyes and stretching out luxuriously, because he could do that here. What a way to live. Loops, your favorite bookworm, she said, but she was laughing, so Taco called it a win. Nah, Loop and I can't read, he lied blatantly. Lucretia gave an inelegant snort, and he grinned despite himself. He'd missed this. Of course. Mind if I keep writing? She asked. He opened an eye lazily, but couldn't see which notebook she had out from this angle. Ah, well, she'd probably need a new one for this anyway. I was hoping you would, he told her. She turned to face him. Interest piqued. Oh? She asked. Did you need something recorded? She put her pen down, and her fingers flexed a little bit. Her feet shuffled. He could practically feel the questions wriggling through her brain. He sat up a little, slouched against the wall. I don't. I was thinking you'd want to, though. Here. He reached into his room and grabbed a blank notebook to toss to her. Her eyes skipped over his arm as she tried to follow the movement, and she grabbed a pen. Thank you. I haven't finished this one yet, she said, tilting her current notebook towards him. How did you... That's what it's for. Me. Thought you'd wanna... He didn't look at the dawning realization in her eyes. He wasn't the biggest fan of being studied when Loop wasn't there, but... Lucretia. She was approximately as threatening as a melted butter dish. He shifted, bringing his knees to his chest, grabbing a pillow. She had about a million of them. He felt the uncomfortable tingle that came out of making non-Loop certified decisions. She hadn't told him he couldn't, though. Really? Are you sure? She asked, clutching the notebook. Ha! She was almost more nervous than he was. Hell yeah, I'm sure. Would I be here if I didn't want to be? I've seen you with the new species we come across. Don't ask like you haven't been dying to catalog yours truly. He gestured grandly to himself, and then grabbed his pillow again. She looked troubled. What? Taco, I wouldn't, she protested, but he shrugged again. Don't worry about it. Pursuit of science, right? I won't let you risk anything I don't want to answer, he promised. He could see the curiosity wrestle with the hesitance on her face. Come on, Bookmouse. I didn't ditch Loop so you could motherhen me too. I'm a big boy. I can handle it. Finally, she relented. Okay, but we can stop at any time, all right? And if you don't want me to write something down, I can keep it off the record. That's standard procedure, she insisted. Inner worlders, so anxious. Yeah, sure, fire away. She closed her other notebook and put it to the side, cracking open the new one, making a surprised noise when she found the existing notes in it. He'd written down what he'd thought she'd want to know in preparation. A couple of things he was created already knowing, and a few things he and Loop had picked up on the way. It was the longest existing written primer on his species, and it was 3 pages long. It was a little humiliating. Oh, she said. Where did you get my formatting from? No, that's not relevant. Thank you, Taco. That was very thoughtful of you. He averted his eyes. His face was hot. I stole your other notebooks. I spilled water on 3 of them. You better not have needed that information on the veggie pygmies. She struggled to keep a straight face for a moment before laughing. Fuck her. She wouldn't even get mad at him. Of course you did. Mind if I start from the start, though? Going over everything with another person here might help. Sure, do what you want. I can talk about myself for days. You know this, he told her. She rolled her eyes. Good. He'd hate to do this while she was walking on eggshells. What is the name of your species? What do you call what you are? She asked, smoothing down the first blank page of the book and dividing sections to start out with. He reached out a bare foot to poke her arm. Haven't really got a name. Servants, I guess? Hey, you? My current... How to put it? Loop hated the word master in all synonyms, and he could guess Lucretia would feel the same. Lucretia noticed his hesitance. You can talk to me like you would to any of your class. Don't worry about my feelings. This will be easier if you're honest. He looked at her, but he had never been any good at inner world expressions. She seemed fine. Okay, my current master sometimes calls us units. He's not much into manufacturing. I think he might think we're machines. That's not universal, though. Mostly we get, hey, you. We'll workshop it. How many of you are there? She asked, scribbling a note down and switching to pencil. Yeah, there might be a lot of erasing going on. Taco had never really looked into what he was until he was surrounded by people who had no idea. How many of them were still around? Hard to say. He thought of the 2 who he'd worked with most closely. Between the 3 of them, they had, what, a 50-50 survival rate? Did he count as operational? He couldn't really vouch for anything broader than that. A blurry memory flitzed through, though, seeing others like himself made and shipped out. Hard to say. A lot, probably? He doesn't remember a number. Though he must have had a better guess at some point. More than 1 was all he could really guarantee, though. Jack had still been around when Elliot had last checked, and he'd seen others around when they'd been fixing him. Ballpark it for me, Lucretia said. Wait, I mean, that's not an order. You don't have to... Taco laughed. Don't worry. You can't make me do shit. Let's see. He thought for a moment, scrabbling at the vague memories. It had been a while. I worked in production for a bit, I think. There were a lot... When I was made there were 1 million of us, or thereabouts. But they kept making us for a while. We're like, I don't know, shoes. We're a household staple. Probably in the trillions by now. I had no idea. That sounded accurate. He didn't even know how many people there were in the outer universe. It wasn't like he'd been reading the newspaper. He hadn't needed to know. Lucretia had stopped writing. The trillions. He looked back at her. She was giving him a look like she thought he was messing with her. Hey, it makes sense. If you could buy a little person to do your laundry and never have to worry about it again, you'd want, like, 7, right? Some people had hundreds of us, and we last a while, so we're pretty handy. Loop would kick his ass if she heard him promoting his servitude like this, but he didn't want to go through the hassle of fighting his programming over something so little when he had a whole biography of his people to get through. Lucretia let out a low whistle. Damn. Okay, trillions. How long do you live on average? Taco shrugged. I mean, time is wonky there. We're pretty much designed to keep going forever unless something goes wrong. Lucretia looked up. Goes wrong? He shrugged, made a vague gesture with his hand. You know, breaks. One of us gets assigned somewhere too long and gets quirky. Stops adjusting. When we get reassigned, we keep acting like we did in our old job. Move things around to match how they were there. Stop working well at our new job. If it's real bad, we'll just keep going back to where we were assigned, even though we don't work there anymore. Some people keep us and deal with the lag. Some people send us in to get fixed. Mostly we get... He remembered Elliot. He remembered the end of his visit home. He remembered 100 others. He's not supposed to feel guilt, so he doesn't. He doesn't. Decommissioned. For being homesick, Lucretia demanded. He sat up, startled. What? No, we don't get homesick. We don't have homes. Lucretia frowned. That sounds an awful lot like homesickness to me. Let me guess. You were similar after what happened to the homeworld for a while. No, Taco said. This was wrong on so many levels. This world wasn't his home. Lucretia stared him down. Maybe a little, he allowed. You guys did act pretty similar for a bit, but you got better. I didn't have my assignment switched. I brought my home with me. Loop would be with him as long as he could help it. They might be drifting place to place, but Taco had his home right by his side. He shook his head. Anyway, that's not relevant. As long as we're not used carelessly or damaged deliberately, we can be used for a long time. I can't really qualify it for this dimension. I existed before this dimension. I don't think I'm really older than it, you know? Lucretia pinned him with a sharp look, but whatever she was thinking, she let it go. Yeah, I think I get it. Taco had a thought. Actually, he started. He stopped. What? Lucretia asked. No, never mind. Next question. It was stupid anyway. No, tell me what you wanted to say, Lucretia said. I want to hear it. Gods, what a cliche. He scowled. It's not important. What's your next question? She gave him a measuring look, and he crossed his arms defiantly. But she just hummed thoughtfully and said, Barry said you teleported him. Is that a thing you can do now? Could you always do it? This one he could answer. Yeah, more or less. I'm not really supposed to do it to other people, but I wasn't quite in my right mind at the time. Basically, I pulled him out of our universe and put him back in somewhere else. Probably not something I can do anymore, though. Really? Why not? Lucretia asked, jotting down a note next to the main text. Taco waved a hand dismissively. Well, I'm not so popular back in the Outerverse right now. If I pulled out entirely, they'd probably not let me come back in. And then they'd retire him, and he'd die. Not an optimal solution on all counts. Shit. Yeah. Have you told Loop that? Lucretia asked. Taco did his best to grin disarmingly, but given the look on her face, he'd landed closer to suspicious. Nah, she'd freak out about it. She barely leaves me alone since I come back. I'm not giving her something else to freak out about. He hated worrying his sister. She already went through enough for him. Taco. Lucretia sighed. Hey, fuck off, Lucy. What else do you need to know? he shot back without heat. It was hard to be upset with Lucretia, and also in general. Lucretia let it pass, but she gave him a serious look. You mentioned being deliberately damaged. Taco met her eyes and looked away deliberately so she could see him ignoring her. I'm not answering that. She nodded. Fair enough. Do you live in communities with one another or separately? Taco relaxed as she moved back to safe ground. Not really. We live where our bosses tell us to. It's a good time. He didn't know why he said that. Lucretia raised her eyebrows at him. Is it? She asked. Taco squirmed. Well, I mean, I can't answer that right now. In my last job before this, I only saw two others regularly, and a whole bunch that rotated pretty quickly. I think those guys were doing what I'm doing now. Lucretia made a note. There are others who do what you do? He shrugged. He remembered giving them assignments. He'd had seniority, and he'd used it. If he hadn't been in the right place at the right time, he'd still be there. I wasn't meant to be unique. We have a pretty incredible decommission rate after being assigned to this job in particular, though. So we might meet others like you, Lucretia asked. It was hard to get a read on how she was feeling, but she sure was feeling it. No. There are a lot of universes to take care of. Sending two of us in for one would be a waste of resources, he said. He thought about his crew meeting another construct, like him but better, following the rules. Impartial. Heartless. He shivered. Then again, she'd asked for the truth. There's a chance now that I've sort of gone off the beaten path, as it were, that they might send someone in to finish my job and take care of it. Hey, what's it feel like to not have a job, Lucretia? He changed the topic quickly so she didn't have time to follow up. If he saw anyone from the outer universe come in, he'd kill them off quick and no one would have to know. Lucretia looked at him quizzically. Not to have a job at all, or not one you care about. Real people were complicated. Is there a difference? She closed her eyes for a moment. Fuck, he messed up. Shit, fuck. Yes, she said after a moment. I had to write a biography about the most boring man in existence once. He was rude and snobby and gross. It was terrible. I nearly dropped it 100 times. I ended up dedicating it to his gardener for having to put up with him. Taco cackled, and Lucretia gave him a little grin. Fuck, that's great. Did he read it? He slapped his knee in excitement and leaned forward until he almost fell off the bed. Lucretia reached out and stabilized him with a mischievous smirk. The gardener did, she said. He asked for an autograph. Oh, fuck yeah, Taco chortled. He could just see mousy little Lucretia and the fucking gardener roasting some guy like he didn't even know. He knew there was a reason he liked her. Once their giggles died down, Taco sighed. Man, what a way to live. I can't imagine being able to do that, he said somewhat wistfully. It hurt to say, but Loop had put a barrier back around his soul so he didn't have to cough up his immortal essence. It's the little things in life. What, you can't give autographs? Lucretia asked, and he gave her a look for playing dumb. She was always trying to make people think she wasn't as smart as she was. He didn't think she even realized it. No, we're not allowed to not like our owners. Don't want a revolution, like how you feel about Davenport, right? He explained. Lucretia looked puzzled. "I like Davenport," she told him. He sat up.
"Wait, really?"
Was that allowed?
"Yes? Do you not like Davenport?"
She was beginning to look troubled, and he hastened to correct her.
"No, yeah, I think he's a badass, but he's not my boss, you know? I mean, I guess he is, sort of, but, I mean, you really have feelings about the people who are, like, in charge of you."
He could barely imagine it. Wasn't that disrespectful? He wanted to ask Loop. Lucretia was giving him a look, and it was hard to decipher.
"I can't not have feelings about people," she said cautiously.
"Doesn't Loop usually have feelings about the people in charge of you two?"
Taco tried to imagine someone being in charge of Loop. Was that even possible? No way. She'd never allow it. Even if she suffered a brief period of insanity, he'd still be there to keep it from happening. Completely impossible.
"Well, yeah. Loop always has feelings about people."
And it was weird at first, having a companion who had feelings so loudly and so often, especially when they were children. "But she hasn't got a master. She is a master. I mean, a really weird one, but she'd never have a boss. Not like how I was thinking Davenport is your boss."
Lucretia frowned severely, and Taco wondered what was setting her off.
"Oh, shit, right. Not that I'm saying that you need to be, controlled, or whatever. Just whatever I said, I take it back. No offense, I respect you deeply, like, as a person."
He hastened to stay, stumbling through the niceties. He wasn't very practiced at them. Loop always understood without them, and no other inner worlders mattered enough to bother with. Lucretia manually smoothed out the wrinkles in her forehead, but he got the impression of something restless about her still. She pretended it wasn't there pretty well, though. He'd teach her yet.
"Thank you, Taco. Davenport is, I think, a different kind of boss. Definitely in charge of us, but we're allowed to have feelings about it," she clarified. Lucretia was a godsend, Taco decided. He wasn't quite sure why. There was nothing to be upset about. He was just explaining how things were supposed to be. It didn't make any sense. But he was pretty certain Loop would have ended up yelling a lot and not actually resolving his misunderstanding. His sister could be perplexing like that sometimes. He decided to push one step further, to be sure he understood. Lucretia would tell him if he was asking something weird, right?
"Isn't that disrespectful? Like, if you like Davenport because he's, I don't know, good at stuff, or he makes good decisions or whatever, that means you're looking at his decisions and you're deciding whether they're right or wrong. Like, who the hell gave you the right? You know what I mean? He's your boss. You can't judge him," he asked. What kind of inefficient system would that be,
where your employees always had to stop and decide whether they liked what you were doing or not before they did it? Things would never get done. He and Loop made decisions at a snail's pace as it was, and there were only two of them.
"Wait, so let me throw this at you," Lucretia tried. "If your boss told you to jump into a volcano, how would you feel about that?"
Taco shrugged. "I wouldn't really feel anything. Gotta do what you gotta do. Loop wouldn't do that because she's fucking awesome. But if she did, that would just be, like, how do you feel about dirt being brown? That's just how it is."
"But Loop wouldn't do that
and that makes her awesome, right? That's an opinion, Lucretia challenged.
Ha, foolish Lucretia.
Nope, that one's an objective fact. Loop is the best, Taco told her. He established that long ago. Wasn't against the rules to know facts about your boss. Well, sometimes it was. This one in particular was okay, though, Lucretia chuckled.
Fair. She kind of is.
She looked over her notes.
Hey, what's with the trident?
He brought his weapon out for inspection.
Oh, this? It's a part of me? They took it out and made it into this when I was assigned here. Can't be disarmed if you are the weapon, right? Now that I can use it, I like magic better, though.
He gave it a couple of easy flips to show off. Lucretia's eyes followed the movement.
Do you think you could use it as a spellcasting focus?
She asked.
Huh. He never thought of that before. Maybe? I've never tried, he said.
He prodded at it with his magic, and it crackled. Hard to say if it was a good crackle or a bad crackle.
We should probably wait to play around with that.
Lucretia held out a tentative hand. She looked pretty damn impressed.
Can I touch it?
Taco grinned. Hell yeah.
Go for it. Swing it around some. Guarantee you'll feel like a badass, he said.
She stood up and took it from him. It felt a little weird having someone else hold it, but there wasn't shit she could do to break it, so whatever. She gave it a few swishes.
This isn't heavy, she said. Is it hollow?
He reached out, and she started to hand it back before he corrected her grip. As long as he wanted her to have it, she didn't have to worry about it slipping from her hands. And she had a death grip on the thing.
Well, no, it's not really made of metal so much as it's made of, like, existence, right? I mean, I could make it heavy, but there's no real point unless I need the extra leverage. It doesn't have weight on its own, he told her. Geez, lighten up a little. You don't need to strangle it. You're not going to drop it. Stop worrying.
She made a visible effort to hold it more lightly.
Phew. Is that what you're made of, too?
She asked.
Magnus says you barely weigh anything. I always thought it was just because you're an elf.
Taco raised an eyebrow.
We don't actually have hollow bones, you know. That's just some racist bullshit the elf furries made up. They're porous, but they don't fucking echo.
Lucretia looked appropriately embarrassed, but he didn't let her apologize.
But yeah, I am made up of the same stuff. Sort of. Hey, watch this, he said, and made himself more real.
He didn't know what it looked like to someone else, except that Loop said it was spooky and fucking awesome. But he was from the world that created this one, and he could place himself wherever he wanted in it, to whatever degree he wanted. He could make himself more there than the ship around him, than Lucretia, than anything else this world would ever know. He could put himself so firmly in his chosen place and time that no mortal energy could affect him. It wasn't really useful for anything except as a party trick, but apparently it looked pretty cool. He faded back to Lucretia's level.
Holy shitballs, she said.
Taco grinned. Finally, an appreciative audience.
Right? My existence in this world is, like, made of this world. If you ever need something real for a spell, Chipboy's made of real, he bragged.
Lucretia's face changed in an instant. She grabbed his arm.
Don't say that.
Oh, fuck. He'd forgotten.
Right. Shit. Spell components. Sore subject. Sorry.
Yeah.
Lucretia handed his weapon back to him and sat back down with her notebook, rubbing her eyes briefly before straightening.
Could you always use magic?
Taco looked at her, but she didn't seem too distraught. She mostly seemed done talking about it.
No, I couldn't before Loop. Magic needs a soul.
He thought of something he'd been wondering about.
Hey, did you have magic, like, as a baby? Babies have souls.
Lucretia graced him with a soft laugh.
Goodness, no. I'm no sorcerer. I think I learned my first cantrip when I was 9.
Interesting. Which one was it?
She wriggled her fingers, and they were surrounded by glowing orbs.
Dancing lights. I had a neighbor who was a drow, and I thought they looked pretty.
Taco laughed.
Fair, fair. Loops was Firebolt.
Of course it was, Lucretia said fondly. What was yours?
Oh, prestidigitation, deaf. I was mad excited once we figured out I could do magic. Had to get the prezi on.
He created some sparks to dance around her lights, and the two of them made a cute little production out of it.
What kind? She asked.
Bit of everything. I tried to cast flavor first, but it kept fizzing. So Lube tried to show me how to do it, and, you know, go-gurt.
He gestured at himself. Lucretia let her lights drop to stare at him.
Wait, you were serious about that?
She demanded, grinning incredulously.
Hell yeah! You didn't manage to permanently summon lights or something your first time, did you?
He knew, before she says anything, that the answer would be no. He didn't know a lot about her childhood, but he had gathered that there hadn't been a lot of room for mistakes. Luckily, she smiled smugly.
No, I made sure I understood my cantrips before casting them, she said.
He brought a hand up to his chest, wheezing,
Savage! You're breaking my heart, Kreisha!
She just hummed and punched his shoulder.
I'm sure I am.
Lucretia had been the second choice for his assignment after Loop. He wondered about the world where he'd grown up as her twin, where he lived in a big empty house and learned magic that didn't hurt anybody. Piano lessons like clockwork, and the endless press of expectations. He loved Loop, with an intensity he'd never thought he was capable of. But if he hadn't been assigned to her, he thought Lucretia would be okay. End of chapter 2.